Now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from BadgerBlitz.com, our guy John McNamara, part of the Rivals Network. Always fun talking Badger sports with John McNamara, and a lot more fun when the Badgers are as hot as they are. Johnny Mack, 12-6 in conference play, and the two programs in the state, Marquette and Wisconsin, just went complete opposite directions. Greg Gard has really rallied these guys since the Kobe King conversation and the breakup that was split with the Eric Helen situation as well. But just basketball-wise, on the floor, what's led to the turnaround here in the last couple of weeks for the Badgers?
Well, in the last couple of weeks, I think someone you can point to is Brevin Pritzel, who's going to play his final game at the Kohl Center tonight. Wisconsin's 11-0, and he scores in double figures. And, you know, he's been a big reason. Just recently, they've won six straight games. And, you know, tonight have a chance, if they beat Northwestern, to clinch a double bye in the Big Ten tournament and, you know, a share of the Big Ten title right now if they win tonight. So he's been huge recently. But, you know, Micah Potter's been big since he's been back. He obviously had to sit out 10 games. But, you know, like you talked about, just the adversity that this team has had to face this year, starting with Howard Moore and the tragedy that hit his family, Kobe King's situation, Eric Helland. I think it's a big reason why Greg Gard should be in consideration for, you know, Coach of the Year in the Big Ten Conference. He's just battled so much with his guys. And, you know, for this group to respond the way they did, it's just awfully impressive.
All right, so this whole thing with Kobe King leaving, I mean, is this a situation where they kind of use this as a driving force, a motivation, or something along those lines? Because it seems like they've really played at a different level since he decided up and quit.
They have, and I don't think it's fair to say this is a better team with Kobe King gone or they're doing anything different because Kobe King was not allowing them to do specific things on offense. I don't think it's the case at all. I think it's what you said, Sparky, where, you know, you go in there and say, hey, look, we could either tank here or we can respond. And they chose to respond, and they've been playing extremely well. You know, Greg Gard kind of mentioned in one of his interviews saying, you know, no one in the Big Ten Conference is going to feel sorry for you that Kobe King is transferring or you have all these things going on outside of the basketball court. So they've responded extremely well as a group. I think a big part, too, is Demetri Trice and his leadership. He's really kind of settled into that point guard role and has played extremely well, just along with Brevin Pritzel in his last handful of games. So, like I said, credit the way that this team has responded with a huge amount of adversity this season.
So, speaking of Kobe King, is what I saw true that he's...
You know, if you look beyond that in the 2022 class, they'll kind of have limited scholarships there. They have a handful of offers out. But, you know, with the guys that they have signed in 2020, it's a really good group coming in. And the guys they have committed right now in the 2021 class, it's looking very good for Wisconsin. They're going to see some roster turnover just because of the guys graduating the next couple of years. But I think it's exciting what Greg Gard and his staff have been able to bring in these next handful of years.
Johnny Mack, I want to go back to this team that's on the floor right now. Micah Potter, the situation that kept him out for the beginning of the year was ridiculous, and people that have listened to this show know my thoughts on the transfer rule. I think you should be able to transfer. If the decision is not working for you, you should be able to go to another program and play right away. But that's neither here nor there. That's just not getting changed. From what he's done on the floor, though, since he came in, he feels to me like the most NBA-ready kind of player they have, and he's been a major spark plug for him on the floor.
I think you're right in saying that. You know, he's 6'10". He's a very good athlete, and you've seen in his last handful of games that you can go out and shoot the three as well. So, you know, regardless if he's in the starting lineup or coming off the bench, he's made a huge impact on this team, and I do see some NBA characteristics in him just because of his size, his athletic ability, and his ability to go out there and shoot the ball pretty well. So I think he's going to obviously play for Wisconsin next year, but he could be in the conversation as a guy that's going to get drafted when we're talking, you know, at this time next year.
It's interesting. Like a week or so ago, we were having this conversation about Marquette and Wisconsin and where they were, you know, projected to be at that point. At that point, Marquette was playing well. The supporting cast was playing well with Marcus Howard. Wisconsin wasn't playing as well, and I'm on the radio going, wow, Marquette, maybe they can get on to run Sweet 16. Finally got a supporting cast with Marcus Howard, as long as he trusts them. And Badgers, hey, they'll be there, obviously. I don't know if they make it out of the first weekend. Since then, Marquette's lost 5 out of 6. I jinxed the crap out of them. And the Badgers have gotten red hot. When you look at that Wisconsin basketball team right now, what are fair expectations for this team?
Good question. And if you look at the landscape of college basketball, I don't think there's any team out there that really scares you. You know, it's a great year for any team to to make a serious run if you get in the tournament. So I think Wisconsin was looking this whole time saying, you know, we just want to get in, we just want to have a shot. But, you know, it's kind of all about matchups when you get there. You know, if you look at Wisconsin's team last year, you know, playing Oregon, a team that was playing really well, it just wasn't a great matchup for them, and that was pretty apparent. They ended up losing that game. So I think that, you know, the way that this team is playing, they seem to be playing their best basketball right now. I don't think there's a team out there that worries them all that much, especially with the way that they're playing. There's not a team that's extremely dominant. So you're not looking to say, you know, we really would like to be opposite of this team, or this team isn't a great matchup for us in this bracket. So I think getting in, you know, this team can compete with anyone, and it's going to be really interesting to see if they can do some damage in the tournament.
John McNamara covers your Wisconsin Badgers for the Rivals Network, part of BadgerBlitz.com, and he's joining us now here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. John, you covered the Wisconsin Badger football team for a long time, and I do want to switch sports here really quick. We've been talking a lot about Jonathan Taylor in the last couple of days after what he did at the NFL Combine. First off, do you believe he could get to the Green Bay Packers at 30? And if so, what type of NFL player do you think most comparable is to Jonathan Taylor coming out, what he just ran at the NFL Combine, unheard of with his 4.39? It was big time.
Right. He made himself, I think, some additional money with running as well as he did at the Combine. You know, in terms of who he compares to, Peter King said he was Saquon Barkley-esque, and that's obviously a very, very lofty comparison, a great compliment. You know, he's not going to get drafted where Barkley was, but, you know, maybe he's a guy that crept into the first round, you know, in the territory where the Packers will be picking. And I know that you guys talked about, you know, would you want Jonathan Taylor on the Packers? I'm sure you would, but, you know, if you're looking at the Packers situation right now, I think you have more pressing needs, and obviously you guys can speak to that better than I can, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan Taylor went late in the first round just because of, you know, how he performed at the Combine and his body of work. You know, he went into his junior season saying, I need to show that I can catch the ball in the backfield. I need to show that I can be a better blocker on third downs, and I think he did that to an extent. So there's just not a whole lot of question marks around him. You know, he's got an excellent body of work. He's proven to be able to stay healthy. And when you run a 4.39 at the Combine, I think he's separated himself as the top running back in this draft.
From a football perspective, any recruiting news there?
Yeah, Wisconsin had a really big junior day on Sunday. I think the two biggest guys you look at are TJ Bowlers. He's a four-star outside linebacker from Iowa. And by all accounts, Wisconsin leads in his recruitment right now. I think he's going to take an official visit this summer. If you look at June 5th, that's going to be a really big visit weekend for Wisconsin. And then Darryl Peterson is another guy. He's a three-star outside linebacker from Ohio. He has an offer from Alabama and, you know, a handful of other schools, and he's another kid I wouldn't be surprised if Wisconsin landed. But, yeah, it was a big recruiting day on Sunday, and there were about, you know, 15 to 20 guests that they had on campus.
Now, this might be a dumb question, John, so I'm just going to ask you point blank and knowing it might be strange. Because when you take a recruiting visit, you want to go to the school and feel the atmosphere, their game day and all of that. But when the Badgers play some of these non-conference games at like a neutral site, like the night game that'll be against Notre Dame at Lambeau, will they host recruits for nights like that and say, here are some of the opportunities, the games that you could be playing in when you come to Wisconsin?
Yeah, and that's a great question, actually.
There you go, Billy.
They can't really treat that like a home game. So when they played LSU at Lambeau, they couldn't say, hey, look, we're going to bring up, you know, 20 football guests to this game. I think there's some NCAA rules that prohibit them from doing that. But, you know, when they're on the recruiting trail, they're certainly saying, you know, we're playing these marquee matchups against Notre Dame, or, you know, in the past they played LSU and Alabama. So, you know, they can't use Soldier Field as a venue to showcase their program officially, you know, as a recruiting thing. It's the same thing kind of with bowl games where, you know, if they're playing down in Florida, if they're playing in California, they'll invite some of their current commits or signees there, but they're not officially guests on that certain day.
That's awesome news. Because I just would wonder, because those are big-time games, big-time opportunities, like you said, but ultimately it's tough to use those as a home game. And also, who wouldn't want to come to Camp Randall and see what that atmosphere is like and really get what you're going in for?
We were talking about this earlier as far as Hall of Fames go, right? And the Brewers don't necessarily have one. They got a wall and a walk, whatever. Well, there's no actual like building structure or anything you go in and tour like you can for the Packers. The Bucks never put one in Fiserv Forum, whether that be the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame or their own Hall of Fame, which I think was a huge mistake. What about the Badgers? I mean, how do they go about showing off their history when they bring recruits in?
Yeah, it's they have, you know, a lot of stuff in their facilities. And if you talk to a recruit who kind of goes on a normal recruiting visit, they look at that history. They have all those guys up on the wall. But with Wisconsin, it's kind of a total package thing. So if you talk to the guys who went up on Sunday, they talk to the strength and conditioning coach. They talk to the nutrition guys. Their new recovery stuff where they have all these sleep pods and all this like new age technology, that's really impressive for recruits. And then, you know, one of the biggest things they do is they bring current players there to do this player panel. So it's more of a, you know, kind of well-rounded experience for these guys who want to see everything that this program has to offer. You know, you're really doing it for the entire kind of student-athlete experience. So Wisconsin, I think, does a really good job of you know, showing you what your life will be like if you are a student-athlete here at Wisconsin. So, you know, there's a lot to showcase there. But, you know, in terms of the history and the tradition of the program, all that stuff is kind of laid out, you know, in the framework of, you know, Camp Randall Stadium and all the facilities they have connected to that. So, yeah, they definitely put their NFL guys out there. You know, even their former walk-ons, there's a big section devoted to that saying, you know, this guy came in as a walk-on, he went on scholarship, and now he's in the NFL. So they do an excellent job of showcasing the tradition of that program, because it seems like not too long ago where Barry Alvarez was running the show, but that's like, you know, 30-plus years of really solid tradition that they've had, and they certainly showcase that to the recruits that they bring on campus.
And they're only firing up more guys into the NFL. There's nothing like amateur sports. It used to be the old wrestling mats, John, right, that you used to try to grab like 15, 20 minutes of Z's on in between practices during a two-day. Now you get your own sleep pod. It's all good. Don't worry about it, guys. Just go catch a nap.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is truly amazing the stuff that they have. And you know, the data that they have on the guys on the current roster, you know, they wear these GPS systems now, so they know exactly, you know, I guess each step that they've taken during a practice. You know, some of the DBs, they find out they run 5 or 6 miles at a given practice. So just the amount of data and what you're able to do with that is truly amazing at the college level.
John, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon as the tournament will approach for basketball and also spring practice right around the corner for the football team. Appreciate it, man.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you. See how well Graham Mertz holds a clipboard. Should be fun.
John McNamara joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.